Thanks for joining us today at Springwell Church, where we want to draw spiritually thirsty people to Jesus by loving God, loving each other, and loving the world. We hope that today's message builds you up, gives you a little insight, and helps you find a brand new perspective. You can find us in Taylor, South Carolina, and online at springwell.org. That's springwell.org. Now let's jump into the message.
Are there any things that you wonder about, like just perplex you? Can I share some of mine? I have a microphone, and y'all are still sitting there, so I guess I will. Why does my son literally run everywhere he goes, never sit still until we say it's time to go, and then he moves like molasses? How do you fold a fitted sheet? I don't know about y'all, but I'll start out good, and I'll try to find the corners, and I'll try to make them meet, and then I just realize I just go to the wad method. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You just wad it up and stick it in there between two things and kind of keep it closed. Or how about this one? How does hair know how long it's supposed to grow? Like the hair on your head grows longer than the hair on your legs? Some of y'all are like, no, it doesn't. But or how about this one? How can you be tired all day, almost fall asleep at work, and then when you get in the bed at night, you've got all the energy in the world? You ever done that? Why do all the Fruit Loops taste the same? They're different colors. They're supposed to be fruity. Fruits taste different. Why do all the Fruit Loops? And then the last one, why do you, when you write the word look, why does it look like it's looking at you? Some of you are writing it out in your head right now. But you can almost put the two pupils on the O's, and it looks like it's looking at you. Or how about this one? Does my prayer actually change anything? You ever wondered about that? And what about those prayers that feel like they're not answered? What happens with those? I want us to answer those questions this morning. We're going to wrap up this series of messages that we've been calling Yes and Amen. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about prayer, kind of diving into prayer. I want you to invite you back at 6 p.m. tonight in this room for a prayer time. We're going to pray personally and together and as families and separately, however you want to pray. I want to invite you back to that. But the first week we looked at prayer. What is it? What is prayer? Last week, we unpacked how to pray through the Lord's Prayer. And so today, I want to talk about, does my prayer actually change things? And what about the prayers that I feel like are unanswered? Now, I have a lot to talk about today, so I need you to listen fast, okay? Y'all got your fast ears on? All right. My title today is, What's the Point? What's the Point? Have you ever asked that about prayer? Like, really, what is the point? Have you ever asked that? Maybe it was in a season of your life where you tried the prayer thing, you tried to make it work, you tried to hang your hat on it, but yet it felt like God didn't do anything with what you gave him. And so you're literally left asking, what's the point? Or maybe you prayed some prayers and you didn't feel anything. You wanted to feel something. You asked God, if you're real, if you're there, show me you're real, show me you're there. And you didn't feel anything. And so really you're left wondering, what's the point? Or maybe you've had somebody tell you that when we pray, it doesn't really change anything. It's just important that we communicate with God. And you've wondered, what is the point? I want us to look at a story in the Old Testament today to try to answer that question. And just a spoiler alert, if you got to go to the bathroom, if you've got brunch plans, I'm just going to go ahead and spoil the entire point of this message today. Prayer does move the hand of God. I am thankful that I have a God who is big enough to be completely knowledgeable, to have my life have a plan for my life. He's big enough to love me, to be in control of my life, to be in control of the world, to hold the world in his hand, but he's also big enough to listen to his kids and respond when they ask things. I'm thankful that I have a God who doesn't just want me to talk to him blindly, but wants to listen to me and provide for me and love me and change things right where I'm at. Spoiler alert, yes, prayer does change things. Your prayers matter. Yes. So let's dive in. Exodus 32. It's a really important part of scripture. In Exodus 32, we see Moses, the leader of the Israelites, on top of Mount Sinai, receiving the Ten Commandments. We've all heard of the Ten Commandments. He's receiving the Ten Commandments from God, and he's been on this mountain for a long time. And so the Israelites, the people that he's leading, they begin to get kind of restless. They feel abandoned. They feel like they don't have a leader. And so they go to Aaron, who's kind of the backup, de facto leader at this point, and they say, Aaron, can we have something to worship. Moses has been gone for so long. We need something. And so they convince Aaron to let them build a statue to worship while Moses, their leader, is on this mountain talking to God and receiving the Ten Commandments. So Aaron tells them to take off their gold jewelry so they can melt it down and make a statue of it. Pause right there. This gold jewelry that the Israelites are about to take off and melt down, do you know how they got this gold jewelry? They got this gold jewelry when God rescued them from slavery in Egypt and said, you can take the spoils of your victory to where you're going next. So God had provided for them. He had rescued them from slavery. He had gotten them out of Egypt. He had done some amazing things in their life. But yet for just a little while, Moses isn't there. God, they don't feel like, is there. And so they decide to throw it all away, and we want to melt down the very thing God gave us so we can create another God to worship because he's not doing what we want him to do right now. How much like us is that? That God can be there for us 1,000 times. He can provide for us. He can keep us breathing. He can keep our heart beating. He can send people into our lives to love us. He can do extraordinary things that we can't explain. He can meet us right where we are. But the one time that he doesn't do what we want him to do, we're ready to throw it all away. As a matter of fact, some of you this morning, you walked in here with some doubt about God. You didn't even want to be here because he's not doing what you want him to do. But can I just remind you that he has been faithful to you to this point? And I think this changes this whole prayer conversation too, because I think sometimes we get frustrated with our prayer because we feel like we've been asking something and God's not responding in the way we want to and on the timetable we want him to. But yet he's answered so many prayers in our past, but it's just right now, I don't understand what he's doing right now. So I'm about to throw it all away. I'm about to deny it even works, that it even does anything because he's not doing what I want him to do right now. Can we just take a moment and thank God that he has been faithful? That he is a faithful God, that he promises to remain faithful, and that he is always faithful, even when we don't understand it. So they take off this jewelry that God had provided for them, and they melt it down and they make a statue. They go crazy in front of the statue. They throw a party, they're singing, there's dancing. Meanwhile, Moses is still on top of Mount Sinai, speaking with God, and God speaks to Moses. And Exodus 32:7 says, then the Lord said to Moses, go down, because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. Isn't it funny that the rest of scripture, God says the Israelites are his people, but when they're acting a fool, he tells Moses, go down and check on your people. This is the classic example, parents. When the child is acting the fool, you say, go get your child. So God says, hey, go look at your people. They're crazy. And God is mad. And he says in verse 10, he says, now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation. So God is ready to take them all out and start over with just Moses. But then verse 11 says, but Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. Lord, he said, why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand. So Moses says, no, God. Nope. You remember, I was fine shepherding sheep. You caused all this. These are your people. Verse 12 says, why? Moses still speaking. Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, or Jacob, to whom you swore by your own self, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land that I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever. So Moses is reminding God of the promise he made to Abraham. It's not that God forgot, but Moses is claiming this promise that God had made to Abraham. One thing that you and I can always count on is that God will always keep his promises and be true to his character. Sometimes I think we get the idea, and what we perceive as unanswered prayer is really just God being faithful to who he is. Of God being faithful to his promises and being faithful to his character. You see, God will only be able to answer your prayers if they're within his character. In other words, a married man or woman, you can pray for 30 years for God to send you another man or woman to share life with, and he can't do it. Your worst enemy, you can ask God to hate them and to strike them dead, and he can't do it because he loves them just like he loves you. You can ask God to bless your sin, and he will not do it. There are some things that you and I pray that God just can't do because he's too good to stoop to that level. And if we think about this, that should get us excited, right? The fact that God's character never changes. Because that tells me that God has promised to love me, to never leave me or forsake me. He has promised to love me, that his character is love, that he is full of grace and peace and joy. And that should encourage me, because it means I don't have to wake up in the morning and wonder what kind of mood God's going to be in today. Because he's consistent. His character is consistent. And so there's some things that you and I pray for, and God says, I just can't, I can't do it because it's outside of my character. And so we get to the most shocking verse in the entire story. Maybe one of the most shocking verses in all of Scripture. Y'all ready? Verse 14 says, then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. That word relented there comes from a Hebrew word that I'm about to butcher, nakam, which means relief or comfort from a planned undesirable course of action. Let me read it again. Relief or comfort from a planned undesirable course of action. Here's what you should know when it comes to God in your prayer. Number one, God is not inflexible in his actions. And number two, God is not uncaring towards his children. God responds to individuals' needs, words, attitudes, and actions. God responds to his kids' prayers. He's a good father who loves his children. But there's more at play in this story. Do you remember, and I said it a moment ago, spoiler, do you remember what Moses did before God called him to lead the people out of slavery? He was a shepherd. He was a shepherd on a hillside. So Moses' heart was to love sheep, because sheep are stupid. Y'all knew that. The Israelites are being sort of the same right here. His heart was to love those sheep, to lead those sheep, and to protect those sheep. May have been one of the reasons why God called him. And so now that Moses is no longer loving, leading, and protecting sheep, now he's loving, leading, and protecting people. You see, Moses' heart was still to lead and protect and love these people. And so when Moses utters these prayers to God, there's no doubt that God responded to his words, but more importantly, God responded to his heart. You see, God listens to our words, but he responds to our heart. That's why this is good news, y'all. That's why you don't have to pray perfect prayers. That's why you don't always have to have the right words to say. Somebody told me a couple of weeks ago, I can't communicate what's on my heart, and so I feel like my prayer life suffers because I just can't get it out. It doesn't matter. That's why you don't have to pray words of eloquence and words that sound King James and sound like they're from the 1800s. That's why you don't even have to pray words that you can understand or comprehend, because God responds to our heart. The New Testament puts it like this in James 4. It says, you do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. In other words, the heart matters to God. God isn't going to answer our strictly selfish prayers. He'll listen to you. He's not going to like strike you with a bolt of lightning for praying a selfish prayer. But if it's just about us getting more and more and more and more, we can't expect God to answer that. Why? Because there's a heart that God is more interested in than the stuff that we have. Because God is after your heart, because he knows that if your heart belongs to him, that's more fulfilling than anything you'll ever get. Walking in relationship with you is God's heart. And your heart is the lifeline you have to God. Your spirit, your soul. And so he is always going to work on that part first, because that relationship with him matters so much. Plus, how many of you have ever gotten something you really wanted and it satisfied you forever? It's kind of like going to the buffet. You pregame the buffet, right? You pregame the Pizza Inn buffet, which means you don't eat much that whole day. You want to make sure your bottomless pit, you're paying $11.99 for unlimited pizza. You are going to make them pay for making that $11.99. So you pregame, you starve all day. You eat as much pizza as you can possibly have. But you know what? The next day, you still want pizza. Why? Because our selfish desires aren't enough to sustain us. And so if God just gives you exactly what you want out of a pure selfish desire, he is contributing to that. He knows it's not going to satisfy you. He knows the only thing that can really satisfy you is him. That's why the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. Because it means that your heart is with him, because he is generous. God is perfect. He's planned, he's gracious, he's just, and he's compassionate, and he knows his kids, and he knows what's best for us. And so he'll always work on that first. Let me give you three things about God's response to our prayers, and these three things I borrowed straight from J.D. Greer. I've told you every week about a book he wrote called Just Ask, but I just want to give you three things. Number one, God's purposes are unchanging. Numbers 23:19 says it like this. God is not a human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. God has a purpose for us, and that purpose does not change. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurs to God? That like God never woke up one morning and you did something ridiculous. I didn't. You did. And God's like, well, never saw that coming. No, God knows his purposes are unchanging, and they don't change. God isn't a human being who can be persuaded on a whim. Have you ever known those people that are like a different person every month? Like one month they're eating kale and edamame and avocado toast, working out six times a week. Then the next month, they've decided, oh, that's just vanity. I'm just going to eat whatever I want to eat. Or they're into trucks one day, and they're into guns the next day. Because they don't know who they are. It's like they change on a whim, just depending on what flies their way. God's not like that. God doesn't change on a whim. He can't be persuaded on a whim. He's not a human being that he should change his mind. He doesn't react to culture. Also, God's plans are unfolding. God's purposes are unchanging. God's plans are unfolding. In the story we just read a moment ago, Moses didn't even know that the Israelites had completely lost their mind until God told him. When God shows up and says, go, look at what your people are doing. Moses had no clue what they were doing. It's interesting to me that God put Moses in a situation to see what was going on. God kept Moses on that mountain. God knew what the Israelites were going to do. And so God told Moses to go see for yourself. God put Moses in a place to pray about what he saw. And I wonder today if some of you are in a place at work, at home, with some friends, with the person that's checking you out, ringing, I almost said checking you out at Walmart. I didn't mean like check me out. I meant like check me out. But maybe God has put you in a place to where he wants to do something in that situation, and he has put you in a place to see it so that you can pray about it. He has plans for your life. He has plans for your life, but he also has plans for everybody else sitting around you today. He has plans for everybody watching online, and every human being on the face of the earth. God has a plan. And I think sometimes we get frustrated because we're begging God to do something, and we forget that our lives intersect with everyone else's lives too. Somebody prayed for rain this morning. Somebody prayed for sunshine. And if you prayed for rain, raise your hand so that we can escort you out. No, I'm just kidding. And so God's plans are unfolding, but there's a lot more at work. There's a lot more people at work. There's a lot more things at work than we can comprehend. And the third one is our prayers are important. Our prayers are important. So God tells Moses to go down the mountain to see what they're doing. In that moment, I believe God had a plan for what was going to happen. Moses comes down from the mountain, and he sees what's going on, and he starts to pray. So it begs the question, right? Would God have taken the Israelites out had Moses not prayed? Yes. I believe he certainly would have. I believe God would have certainly taken the Israelites out had Moses not prayed on their behalf. But also, God put Moses in a place to see it so that he could pray for it. Do you see how those work together? Do you see the tension in that? So Moses appeals to the heart and the promises and the purposes of God, and it changed the plans that God had playing out. So yes, Moses' prayer literally saved a nation and changed the course of history. Yes, your prayers have the potential to change the course of history. Your prayers have the potential to save that child's life who you are wondering where they have gone and what has happened to him. Your prayers have the potential to bring people into a relationship with Jesus that would literally change their eternity forever. Your prayers have the potential to heal the person that's on their deathbed. Your prayers have the potential to literally change things on this earth for all eternity. Your prayers surrendered to a holy God allows him to come and invade space and bring it to earth. Your prayers matter. There are some things, like I said a few weeks ago, there are some things that's just the way God works, because remember, it's all about that relationship. He wants us communicating with us, and so there are some things that God withholds until somebody asks for them. This past week, Riley, our 9-year-old boy, came home from his after-school place missing one shoe. How do you lose one shoe? Like, aren't they either on together or off together? He was literally missing one shoe. It was a Croc. And so he is hysterical about losing this Croc. Meanwhile, I think it's partly funny, partly sad. I partly want to hug him. I partly want to beat him. I mean, it's like, how do you lose one shoe? I told him, I said, I'm pretty sure nobody's going to steal one shoe unless they got one Croc at home too. Or we'll buy you another. Then you'll have two pair, right? He has a red one. We'll buy you a yellow one. Then you'll have two pair of red and yellow. But anyway, so he gets home and Melissa and I are like, well, buddy, why don't you pray about it? Why don't you ask God? Because God does care about the little things in your life. Can I just say that? He does care about a missing crock. But we said, why don't you pray about it? So we prayed about it as a family before we went to sleep. He told me he prayed about it after he went to bed and the next morning. And so, of course, I'm wondering when he gets home the next day, is he going to have his crock? Sure enough, he comes home. He hides it in his backpack to try to play a joke on me. I'm like, did you find your crock? And he holds it up with this beaming grin. And so I asked him, I said, well, how did you find it? He said, when I walked in today, the counselor brought it right to me. Would Riley have found his crock had we not prayed asking God to help him find his crock? I don't know. But here's what I do know. A little boy's faith was strengthened because he saw an opportunity, he prayed about it, and God delivered on it. That is the opportunity you have to change things around you. You get a chance to play a part in the grand story of God. I want you to hear me say today that your prayers matter. You don't have to be ultra holy. You don't have to be cleaned up. Your prayers matter. Your prayers for yourself, your prayers for the world, your prayers for this church, your prayers for the people around you, they matter. It literally has the potential to reach up into heaven and to move the very heart and hand of God, our Creator. How amazing is that? And how often do I take that for granted? Because it feels like life is too busy. Or it feels like there's too much going on Instagram that I can't pay attention because I want my phone in my hand. I got to see what they're doing. But literally, every second of every day, it doesn't have to be for 30 minutes. It can be for 2 seconds. But you and I have an opportunity to commune, to sit at the feet, to walk alongside, to ask, to beg, to fuss at, to ask the Creator of the universe to invade our space and to bless us in a way that only He can. Your prayers matter. So what about the unanswered ones? I'm glad you asked. I want to talk about maybe some reasons why you feel like God hasn't answered your prayer. And just as a disclaimer, this is certainly not an exhaustive list. I don't know your heart. I don't know all of God's plans, but just some potential reasons why you feel like God hasn't answered your prayer. Number one, maybe you pray with the wrong motive. Maybe you prayed with the wrong motive. Like James 4 that I read just a moment ago, our heart is a big deal to God. Our motive matters to God. Our motive matters, the reasons behind our asking matters, but also our lives matter. The way we live our lives matter. And sometimes there can be something in our life that God says, no, I've got to work on that first. Husbands, literally, the Bible says in 1 Peter 3 that the way you treat your wife will change the effectiveness of your prayers, because that is God's first priority. Our motive matters. The second one, maybe you prayed against the character of God. As I mentioned earlier, there's some things that God can't do because they're not in His character, because He doesn't change. He doesn't operate on a whim. And so sometimes we're asking Him things and He just can't do it because it's not in His character. Moses here, in the story we read earlier, he appeals to the promises and the character of God, and it moves the heart and the hand of God. One of the ways this plays out the most in my life, I think, is my impatience. God is a patient God, right? He's patient. He plays the long game. He sees way ahead. He's so patient with me. Thank you, Jesus. But a lot of times when I pray, I want Him to have done it yesterday, and if not, today's almost too late. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I don't even care if He steps over some people to get it done for me. But those are prayers that God just simply can't answer because He's not like that. He's patient, He's kind, He's gentle. He plays the long game. The third one, maybe you don't feel like your prayers are answered because your answer is still in process. I think this one is where a lot of us are at today. I think it plays out for a lot of the people that you're frustrated with your prayer life. You're frustrated with your life. You've been asking Him to do something for so long, and it feels like He's not doing anything. What could it be that He's arranging some things, that He's still working? You just haven't seen it played out yet. I think this happens sometimes when a believer passes away. You prayed for healing. You prayed that God would step in and do something. Well, He did.
You just don't see the process. Sometimes I think it plays out when you're trying to tell someone about the love of Jesus. It's God's will that no one should perish, but sometimes the answer is still playing out. Sometimes he's arranging some things in their life. So maybe he's putting some people in their life that are going to be able to reach them. Maybe he's doing something in your life as you pray and as you ask him to help them know the fullness of who Jesus is. Maybe the answer is just still in process. And then sometimes I think there's a spiritual warfare element going on. In case you didn't know, we do have a real enemy who is active. He's active in the spiritual realm. He's active in the physical realm. There's a story, and I don't have a ton of time to dive deep into it, but I'll just tell it to you really quickly. There's a story in Daniel chapter 10 where Daniel has cried out to God. He's been praying. He's been asking. It seems like it's taken forever. And finally, an angel shows up. And the angel shows up and he tells Daniel, he says, basically, he says, sorry, I'm late. He says, but God heard your prayers the first time you uttered them. But I've been in a fight to get here for you. I've been fighting the enemy to get here to you. Now, notice the angel does get there because ultimately God has authority and power and Satan is a defeated foe. But Satan will do everything in his power to distract, to disrupt, and to frustrate you in your prayer life. So, pray. That's my message for these 3 weeks, really. In case y'all hadn't figured it out, pray. Praying's a good thing. Pray loud prayers. Pray soft prayers. Pray prayers you don't even know what to say. Pray for your kids. Pray for your spouse. Pray for yourself. Pray for the world. Pray for the people that don't know Jesus. Pray for the people that do know Jesus. Pray for this church. Pray for me. Pray. Pray. Pray for healing. Pray for blessing. Pray for grace. Although you don't have to pray for grace because that's going to happen. But pray. Just pray. That's the encouragement, is pray. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be holier than thou. Just pray. Just pour your heart out before your daddy and say, Daddy, I'm scared right now. Daddy, I need something right now. God, I don't know what to do right now. God, I need you to provide something right now. God, I need you to do something with them right now. God, I need you. Just pray. Keep asking. Remember, ask, seek, knock. Keep asking. Keep pleading. Keep believing that prayer makes a difference. Keep praying, because what's the point? The point is that you get to walk alongside your Father in relationship and you get to see him do some cool stuff on your behalf. That's the point. Keep praying. As we wrap up this morning, I want us to do something just a little bit different. We did this sort of a couple of weeks ago. I hadn't planned on it a couple of weeks ago. I had planned on it today, so I want to stick with the plan. Hopefully you got a card on your way in from one of our greeters. Aren't they amazing, by the way, the greeting team? And first impressions amazing. They make you feel welcome every. So as the band plays this song, I want you to write what's on your heart on that card. We've been praying over these cards as a staff throughout this series. And thank you for your honesty. Obviously, we're not going to share any of this stuff. But if you have a prayer request, write it on that card. And then as they play, you can come. You can drop it in this basket or this, whatever this is, this box. Or if you're not comfortable moving forward, and I may even would do this myself, there's some baskets by the doors. You can drop it in there as well. There's not, these prayers aren't going to get answered any faster than those. So whatever's on your heart, I want you to do that. And here's the thing too. If you've gotten some clarity about what to pray about over the last few weeks, maybe you've gotten re-energized to pray for something. I want to just open this up here. You can come and pray. There'll be some people down here. If you want one of us to pray with you, just come and grab us and say, will you pray with me? We would love to do that. But you can come. If you need to pray with somebody, if you need to walk across the room, if you need to, whatever you need to do, use this moment. Don't wait. Let's pray. Let's see God. Let's see him do something, because one of his kids asked.